This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Listen to us on KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacifica affiliates, and watch us on Free Speech TV Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. The Electoral College win of Donald Trump has many people worried about his finger on the nuclear button. But what about the vast and unchecked powers of the executive office that President Barack Obama enjoyed during his 8 years in office? Those powers gave Obama oversight over a dangerous and semi-secret program of drone warfare that has created untold numbers of innocent victims in countries like Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Yemen. Now, President-elect Trump will oversee this program, coming at a crucial political moment to help ordinary Americans understand what the U.S. drone program is about is a new documentary called National Bird, executive produced by Wim Wenders and Errol Morris. National Bird is centered on the testimonies of U.S. drone operators who've decided to go public about the program they were involved in. Joining me now is Sonia Kennebec. She is the director and producer of National Bird. Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me here.
So, you know, many people sort of have pointed out that President Trump is going to be in charge of this program, and shouldn't those of us who were worried about it have spoken out about all of this happening under President Obama? Well, clearly you and the whistleblowers in your film felt that this was problematic enough under President Obama that you started making this film. It's the timing of the release, I think, is very appropriate. Why is our drone warfare program something that deeply needs to be exposed for Americans to really understand?
Well, first of all, I think it is, you know, we should all be informed about the way we wage war, because, you know, all these wars are waged in our names. And currently, you know, it's the fact that a very small part of the population is carrying the burden. You know, the people who enlist and, you know, who are officers in the military, they are carrying the burden of all of these wars. But, you know, we should all be involved. We should all be informed, because, you know, this is all waged in our names. And then secondly, it is a global war. So it, you know, it shouldn't just concern, you know, citizens in the US, but also in other, you know, countries around the world. And as, you know, with many weapons technologies, these technologies, you know, they can be turned against us. They, you know, drones are being used already, you know, are being tested in the United States. And these, you know, these technologies, you know, at some point will affect us all, because drones are proliferating very, very quickly. And so I think it's very urgent to discuss these issues.
So let's talk about the three people that are centered in your film as being the sort of truth tellers, deeply and intimately involved in the program of the drone, of the drone wars. The first one you open your film with is Heather Linebaugh, someone, you know, that you might not ordinarily think of as an active member of the military. She is a petite woman. You know, we think of military and fighters stereotypically as these buff Marines that are generally men. But the drone operators can be anybody with a brain who can push a button and who can do analysis. And this young woman named Heather Linebaugh, how did her story unfold? How did you come across her work?
So when I started, you know, making this research, I wanted to make a film about drone warfare, but from the perspectives of the people directly involved and directly impacted. So the people who are, you know, working in the program, and the people in the target countries, of course, who are, you know, impacted and affected by the drone war. And I found Heather about a year before she wrote an op-ed piece on Guardian.com. And I started filming with her, and I found her, you know, through some detective work. Through networks of veterans who I know and activists. And when I first met her, she had just left the military and had moved back with her family in rural Pennsylvania. And she told me in our first meeting that she lost three of her former colleagues to suicide. And, you know, that was new, you know, to me, but also it hadn't been covered in the media yet, that people in the drone program would be so affected by their work. that, you know, they would, you know, they saw the only solution in committing suicide. And so her job specifically, this, you know, young woman who enlisted at you know, age 18, she had to analyze the live video coming from the drone. She was an imagery analyst, and she had to make this call, you know, is this person who I'm seeing on this video, is this person a civilian, you know, carrying a shovel, or is this person carrying a weapon as potential terrorist? So, you know, this is a very, you know, far-reaching decision to make at a very, very young age. Many people who are in her position are 18 to 25. So it has a great impact on people like her.
And then there's Daniel, a young man who found that as he started speaking out, he came in the crosshairs of our intelligence agencies and faced a pretty serious sounding raid. But he has decided to continue to go ahead and speak out. Tell us about Daniel, and what was it about him speaking out that seems to have triggered some movement within the intelligence community?
Well, I mean, that is kind of one of the concerning things about, you know, the Espionage Act investigation. So what happened was, you know, one of my protagonists, his name is Daniel, was raided during the production of the film and, you know, is being investigated for espionage. And the problem with these investigations, and I have to say here that Obama has prosecuted more whistleblowers under the Espionage Act than all previous administrations combined. So what's so concerning about that is that, for one thing, you don't know what's going on. These are, you know, secret investigations. And, you know, as, you know, even if you're a target, you get very, very little information. And I think that actually makes this film so timely because this is, you know, a severe restriction of our rights. You know, whistleblowers expose waste, fraud, and abuse and illegal activities. So I think these are all things that they bring out and make public that the public should know. And currently we, you know, we have to be in this fear that, you know, whistleblowers, you know, don't have enough protection. Journalists, you know, also, you know, are under threat as well. And in a democracy, I think, you know, we need this government accountability. We need to have whistleblowers. We have to, you know, we have to have information of the public, investigative journalism. And yes, and I mean, we've had a lot of talks now at our screenings about what is going to happen in the next 4 years with this new presidency. You know, we already had a threat. And, you know, in the past 8 years under Obama to, you know, free speech and whistleblower protection. So, yeah, we really all need to, you know, discuss what's going to happen in the next 4 years.
And then there is Lisa Ling, not to be confused with the I believe, CNN TV reporter. Lisa Ling, another drone operator. And you know what's remarkable, Sonia, about this film is that these people that speak to you, they're ordinary. They're ordinary Americans. In Daniel's case, he said he knew going in that he was not someone who was a fan of U.S. wars and U.S. imperialism. He may not have used the word imperialism, but that he went in knowing, because he didn't have a choice, he was homeless, and so in a way it was sort of a poverty draft for him. But even the women involved, Heather Linebaugh and Lisa Ling, just ordinary American people. Tell us about Lisa and her fight to, she did a very brave thing. She went to Afghanistan because she wanted to humanize the victims of the drone program she was involved in.
Exactly. So Lisa, you know, while the other two protagonists, the whistleblowers in my film, the military veterans, are very young, Lisa had, you know, a long career in the military. You know, she's very experienced. She has, you know, served for over 20 years. And she, you know, she first entered the military, you know, really believing and doing something good. And she, you know, she had a lot of good experiences in the military, but the last 2 years of her service were in the drone program. And she really, you know, was very, very disturbed by what she saw, and that caused her to speak out. And I, you know, I really have to say that, you know, while, you know, my three, you know, protagonists in my film, the Kree subjects, characters, of ordinary people who were serving their country, and actually I think still are serving the country, they have this tremendous courage to speak out and inform the public, because it's not easy to become a whistleblower and go public and be under public scrutiny. But they really see it as a service to the public to inform them about what has been happening in the drone war. So Lisa, I think, is doing something extraordinary, because she is trying to bridge the gap that this technology has created, the distance that, comes with a drone war. And she actually is, she went with us, or we went with her to Afghanistan, because she wanted to, meet people in Afghanistan, because she has been fighting a war in Afghanistan from California. She's making this connection, and we are able, when I'm over there, I'm interviewing the victims and survivors of a drone strike on civilians, and they are just really wonderful people, but they've had this very horrible experience, and they are telling us about it. It's heart-wrenching, but I also want to say that it ends with some hope, I think, that we can all do something.
And Sonia, one of the most important things about a film like this, I feel, is that it helps Americans who have been kept in the dark and may not have taken the trouble to do their own research to make sense of that adage, why do they hate us, right? The Middle East, this faraway place, it's on the other side of the planet. We have the sense that there's, a place from which fundamentalism arises aimed at us, but we don't take the time to wonder or ask why would there be this anger, this mass public anger, not all of which, of course, becomes fundamentalist militant, a group like ISIS, but simply, why is this mass public anger? Imagine if we were the victims of these sorts of drone attacks by another country, how would we respond? We don't tend to turn those tables on ourselves often enough. So what do you hope that will come out of this film? Because in your film, one of your protagonists, I think quite rightly, says it's sort of too late to wish this technology away. It's not going away anywhere. Maybe we can make it be put to better use, constructive use, like, helping find survivors of a disaster. So what do you hope to see the drone program turn into with your film?
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned, this technology can be used for good things, search and rescue missions after natural disasters. This technology is not generally a bad technology. And, as one of the protagonists of my film says, it's not going to go away. But I think, and that's why I made this film, I think it's important, first of all, that we have more information, that we have transparency, that we understand, how is this weapon being used? What are the rules and regulations? How many people are being killed? How many civilians are being killed? And then, we have to judge, as a society, is this a type of warfare that we want? Because, it is not going to go away, but, it is in our power, I believe, as citizens in a democracy, to request from our, political leaders, accountability and transparency about this. And that's what I wanted to do with this film. And I think, we've seen with our audiences that people do respond this way. I used a lot of, aerial shots in the United States, kind of to give people a sense of how it feels to be under constant surveillance. And that's what people respond to a lot. They said, oh gosh, this is like, man, it's creepy, to see these shots.
Right, your movie poster actually is an aerial view of what looks like a suburb in the U.S., not in Afghanistan.
Exactly. Yes. We have aerial shots of, just suburbs in the Bay Area, New York, places all over in the U.S. Some in Oakland. And it's intrusive. It's intrusive, and it's also scary that people, who we are filming, don't know that they are being watched and they are being filmed. And you know, one of the one of the women, the veterans in my film, she actually says that at some point, you know, how would we feel? You know, how would we feel if this was happening to us? And I think this is a, you know, a very, very good and important question that we should ask ourselves. Yeah.
So let's actually play an excerpt of the trailer of your documentary, National Bird. When we come back, we'll find out how our viewers can and listeners can watch it.
You literally just kind of hover and you would wait until he walked out to the field to meet with some friends for something. And you'd blow him up. Drop a Hellfire missile on him. Maybe we killed our objective, maybe we killed a guy who we thought was our objective. You don't know.
When I first got into the military, I was thinking it was a force for good in the world. I thought I was going to be on the right side of history, and today I don't believe I was.
I still have a top secret clearance, so I have to be extraordinarily cautious about what I can and can't say on camera.
My job was to watch what's happening in the video, the drones, and identify everything.
Adolescent near the rear of the SUV.
That's deceptive. You get the opinion that you're at 10,000 feet, you see this photograph. You know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. You know what you see in two dimensions.
You see someone die because you said it was okay to kill them.
It's too easy. They just embolden commanders.
Center's in, but the party began.
Because there is no threat.
Oh, sweet target.
I mean, this could grow to get so out of control.
Somebody downstairs was knocking at the door, and immediately both people at the door shoved FBI badges in my face.
The Espionage Act is one of the most serious charges.
And we're watching the trailer of the documentary National Bird. My guest is Sonia Kennebec. She is the director and producer of the film. Where can people watch this film? Is it opening in theaters? I'm assuming eventually it'll be out on DVD.
Yeah, so it's currently in theaters. We just opened on Veterans Day, actually, on November 11th in New York, and it's still running in New York. So, you know, if you are based in New York, please come out. We are one of the whistleblowers from the film and myself. We are doing Q&As after the 7 p.m. shows tonight and all the way through Thursday. And then on Friday, we are going to be in the Washington, D.C. area, and we have an opening there on November 18. And we also have a parallel opening in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Houston, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona. Next month, we're opening in Chicago. So, you know, please check the listings. Nationalbirdfilm.com has the theatrical openings. And then next year is actually going to be on PBS. But you know, try to come out now and connect with us because we're doing Q&As at many of our screenings.
Sonia, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me here.
Sonia Kennebec is the director and producer of National Bird. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can sign up for our newsletter at risingupwithsonali.com to get daily emails with links to all our stories.